welcome everyone to our afternoon service on this Christmas Day. If you've not been wished Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And if you haven't been told that God loves you, then you've been far distance from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for my sins and your sins, to die for a wretch like me. We're going to sing one Christmas song today, this afternoon. I started to say morning, like Brother John told me good morning. But anyway, it's afternoon, but we're going to sing one song, and I'm sure all of you know it without even looking at the words, but it helps me to look at them. So we're going to do number 85. First Noel, you can sit or stand, either one. You're probably, if you've been working hard to get ready for Christmas, you're probably just going to sit there. Oh, good. A lot of people haven't been working very hard. Okay, the first Noel. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to search up for shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
Afternoon. I about did it, didn't I? Good afternoon. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. And I do just want to say Merry Christmas to all of you, and I'm thankful that you've made the effort to come out. I pray you've had a wonderful Christmas day and that it just continues to get better and better as we go on into the evening. But again, thank you for coming, and today we will be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ by not only simply considering the birth, but considering the wholeness of his ministry. And I made some promises because there's some meals that still got to be had later on this afternoon that I wouldn't keep y'all very long today. But if you're watching by Facebook or listening by the radio, it's good to have you today, and so thankful that you've made the effort to come out. But before, as you're turning to the book of John chapter 1, do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning before we get into our service? Amen. I left the house yesterday morning and it was minus two, is what it said. So, anyone else got a word of praise or testimony today? Amen. One of our units went out. And so, but it didn't get mad. It just shows you how thankful you are. We should be for having all that we have. We had plenty of quilts, and we could have kept piling quilts on as much as we needed. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony this Christmas day? Amen. It's good to see Sister Willis, and she's looking wonderful, looking wonderful. Amen. Amen. Hot water. Amen. That's what we was doing, praying. I came up here and got a little heater at the office at 2 o'clock the other night. Try to heat up. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony today? Amen. Amen. Praise God, we've not had the COVID to deal with like we have in the past 2 or 3 years. Been able to get out and about. Anyone else this morning? Amen. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the book of John, is John's recognition as you turn to John chapter 1. Matter of fact, he says it in John chapter 1, verse 29, and John chapter 1, verse 36, which will be our main text this morning. Anyone else before we go into prayer needs? We do want to continue to lift up Sister Helen Bowen. We want to continue to pray for Miss Sally Grebe and lift her up. And there's others that are dealing with sickness. It's good to see the Worleys and Jesse's here today. Thank God that there's been healing there. But there is all kind of bugs going around right now. Any other prayer needs that we need to be mindful of today? Is she still... We will. Anyone else? Not when you was fighting deers, was it? And praise God that you've got your house kindly settled and ready to go now. Amen. Amen. Anyone else this morning? I'm going to ask Brother Keith if he would to open us up in prayer this morning, but also, or this afternoon, I will remind you that the altar is always open and you're more than invited and more than welcome to come and to spend some time on the altar. Brother Keith.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, that you give us another day, Lord, to come into your house and to worship you. Lord, we just pray for all those today, Lord, that's sick and shut in and can't get out. Most of all, Lord, that we pray for those that know you not as personal Savior. Lord, you tell us in your word that you're the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. No man cometh unto the Father but by you. And I just pray, dear God, that those that knows you not would realize that they're lost and headed to a devil's hell without a Savior. And Father, you sent that Savior to Calvary's cross, Lord, to shed his blood and die for our sins, Lord, that we may have eternal life also. And we thank you, dear God, for that. We love you and we praise you. Now, we just pray, dear God, as we go through this service today, Lord, that you be with the pastor, and Lord, that everything that's said and done will be pleasing to you. We thank you, dear God, that we've had electricity, Lord, through this cold, mm-hmm. And Lord, we pray for those that didn't have electricity, Lord, that thankful, Lord, that they was able to keep warm, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that we had running water. We had hot water. We just thank you for all day. So many things, Lord, that you do for us. Each and every day, we fail thee and give you honor and praise for it. Forgive us of that sin, I pray, dear God. Go through us. Be with us in this service. Lead, guide, and direct in a way to be pleasing to you. Forgive us, Lord, of our many things. For these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Keith. All right, if you look in the book of John chapter 1, we're reminded that over the past month, we've basically looked at Matthew and Luke a lot as we've considered the birth of Jesus Christ in the narrative. We've looked at Elizabeth and Zechariah. We've looked at John the Baptist, and we've looked at Joseph and Mary and how all that was involved. And then we've even looked at the birth of Christ. Last Sunday night, we had our own kind of nativity night as we looked at the birth and how the angels came and announced the arrival of the Messiah. And you remember the idea of the Messiah is the anointed one, the chosen one. And it encompasses all three parts of who Christ plays. He is the prophet, he is the priest, and he is the king. All of that. He is the anointed, chosen one of God that came to fulfill the work of God so that we could come to know him as our Lord and Savior and the relationship would be restored. But look with me there in the book of John. John doesn't talk very much about the birth of Christ. Matter of fact, he doesn't say much at all. He introduces Christ from the beginning of time. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as we've looked at the relationship between John the Baptist and Jesus, remember it says when Mary entered into Elizabeth's house, when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant and Mary had just found out that she was carrying the Messiah, what happened to John in the womb? What did he do? He leaped. He leaped. And in the King James, it tells us that Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, or they were at least some kind of kin. Now notice what it says here in John chapter 1, verse 29. It says, "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." And then it tells us in verse 36 that again, looking upon Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And I've just been thinking a little bit the past few days. Do you think this was the first time that John had ever met Jesus? I mean, if they're anything like us today, they have family reunions. We know that Mary went to see Elizabeth at least one time during the pregnancy. But something happened. If he had seen Jesus before, something happened between then and this time when he saw Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you know what? What it was the light of God had shined into his life and he recognized. What does the Bible say? No man comes but drawn by the Father. And the Father had allowed the wisdom and the light to recognize who Jesus Christ was. And today there are a lot of people around the world that are celebrating Christmas that they know Jesus only as the baby that was born in the manger. And thank God, most of us in here today would say, I'd say all of us would say that we know Jesus Christ more than just a baby in a manger. More than just a man who was a good man and a prophet and he lived a good life. We know him as the Messiah, the anointed one. He was the prophesied one. He is the priest that interacts today for us in between the Heavenly Father and us. And he is our soon coming King. We have had that light. And so today we are celebrating more than simply the babe in the manger. But we're celebrating the work of the cross. How that in his life he lived a perfect life. The Bible says he who knew no sin on the cross, he took our sins. And on the cross is where the penalty for our sin was paid. But on the day of the resurrection is where our eternal salvation is secure. If he wouldn't have rose up from the grave, we wouldn't be eternally saved. So today as we look at the beautiful nativity scene, we can't just stop there, as many are going to do. Once the day's over with, they'll not think about Jesus again until maybe Easter and then maybe next Christmas. But today as we're coming together, I want you to recognize with me that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And today we're going to take part in the Lord's Supper. And again, this is not Thomas Village coming to our own table and having a little bit of a meal, but today we come as children of God to the table of Jesus Christ. And everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ has been invited to this table. I'm going to read to you out of the book of 1 Corinthians how that Paul tells us about the importance of the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, of the importance of the Lord's Supper. If you look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also..." I'll wait on you. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh the damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body among you. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now, as Baptists, and I go through this because I never like to just tack it on at the end of a service, but as Baptists, we have two basic things that we hold, tenets of faith that we hold on to, and that is the believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper. And when we talk about tenets of faith, we're not saying that these are needs for salvation. No, all the work for salvation is accomplished in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." And if we are to boast in anything, we're to boast in Christ Jesus. But then also we have the Lord's Supper. And we see that Christ tells the apostles there in the upper room, you remember, he says that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do show forth his covenant. But he also said that he will not drink of the wine. He will not partake of this meal until he comes again. And what he's talking about there is the wedding feast. But he's also building upon the Passover meal. And so today we look back not only at the birth, but we look back at the promise all the way back in the book of Genesis when the lamb was sacrificed and the death angel passed over and they had to put the blood upon the door. It was a beautiful picture, and the more we understand about the old covenant, the more we recognize that the blood still has to be applied. But today it is not the blood of a physical lamb, it is the blood of the salvation lamb, which is Jesus Christ. And we look forward to when we eat of the meal of the wedding feast. And we've talked about the wedding feast. We've had sermons on the wedding feast, and that we should look forward to it as Jesus Christ is looking forward to it. But notice something else about the Lord's Supper. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "So then whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let each person examine themselves in this way. Let them eat the bread and drink the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing his body eats and drinks judgment unto themselves. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen to sleep." I think it's become just a routine in many services, in many denominations, that they partake of the wine and they partake of the bread or they partake of the juice. But notice what he said, that when we come to the Lord's table, we're to specifically focus on there in verse, hold on just a second. In verse 29, it says, "For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing his body eats and drinks damnation unto themselves." Think about all that Christ went through. That beautiful baby boy, when he was born on Christmas Day, he was born for one purpose, and that was to die on the cross for whosoever. And he was just as innocent the day that he died on the cross as he was the day that he was born. But he chose to go to the cross. He chose to have my sins, your sins, and whosoever's sins placed upon him. Every time they beat him with the whip, every time they plucked at his beard, every time they blindfolded him and would punch him, the Bible says, King James says, they buffeted him. Remember, they took the crown and set it upon his head and took a reed or basically a wooden rod, and they hit him on the head so that the not only would he take the lick to his head, but that the thorns would be pushed down into his head. You see, when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate that. All that he went through. When they took the nails into his hands and the feet, and remember what he said. What did he say? "No man takes my life, but I lay it down." Think of how awesome it is. And I know it's commonplace and you've heard it before. The old saying, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When he took those nails, when they drove the staff into his side, all of that was for me. See, that's why it's a personal salvation. That's why it's me and him. That's why I have a relationship with him that no one will ever have. And then it tells us that we're to recognize the blood. The Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. It tells us that we're not to drink blood or eat the blood of animals. It's so precious, the value that our Creator has placed on the blood. And yet, and again, I've said this before, I believe the soul's in the blood. But yet, it tells us that He shed His life blood for you and me. And today, His blood is a covering for every sin that I will ever commit. From the first one that I ever committed to the last one, because He died not only just for my sins, He died for the whole of sin in my life. And He did it the same for whosoever. And so today we're pausing, and we're thankful that He came in such a marvelous way, that the angels declared His glory, and that the Magi came, and they traveled for probably 2 years or so just to come and to see the Messiah, the prophet, the priest, the king, but also the perfect sacrifice. We celebrate that He lived a life where He showed compassion to the lowliest. I think about the woman that had the issue of blood. She was just hoping to walk away with a little bit of healing, but that day she walked away with total healing and with a Savior. We celebrate the fact that He went to the cross. He was buffeted, spit upon, lied about, forsaken by His best friends. We celebrate the fact that His blood was poured out on the ground. But more importantly, His blood was poured out as a covering for the sins of whosoever. We celebrate the fact that on the third day He rose up out of the grave, and that the whole world shook at Jesus. We celebrate the day that the Bible tells us that He sits at the right hand of the Father, and He lives to intercede on my behalf and on your behalf. That right now, the Bible says that the accuser of the brethren, the devil, lies about us. But praise God, because of Jesus, the Heavenly Father looks and all He sees is the blood. We celebrate the promise that when He went back up to heaven, what did the angel say? "Why do you stand here gazing?" Because the one that you've seen go up, He's going to return in like manner. And we celebrate the fact that, praise God, He's going to build us a home. And He said, "If I've got a home for you, then I'm coming again to get you, that we can be there forever with one another." We celebrate the fact that He says one day we're going to have a body like His. No more pain, no more sin. The Bible says that there's coming a day that we'll never shed another tear, that every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. You see, that is Christmas. It's not just the Immaculate Conception. It's not just the shepherds in the field, but it's the whole of Jesus. We're to celebrate who He is. The Messiah, the Anointed One, the Prophet, the Priest, the King, the perfect sacrifice, and the One who's soon coming again. So I want us to take some time before we go into the Lord's Supper here and read that again, because notice it in 1 Corinthians 11:27-30, it says, "So then whosoever eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the sin against the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, none of us are worthy. None of us can do anything to make ourselves right with God. The Bible tells us that we've been made worthy by Him. But the manner, when He's talking about what I hear, the way to partake of it unworthily, one is not to consider all that it involves. All that Christ invested so that we could gather around this table. It's also, if we partake of it unworthily, means that we've got a bad attitude or there's open sin in our lives. You know, we all have our own pet sin. And it's very hard sometimes to get over being angry at somebody or being hurt by somebody. But what did Jesus say? He said, if we don't forgive, then we've not been forgiven. And the thing is that Jesus will forgive the sin if we'll just confess the sin. And so today I just want us to take a moment, and we do this all the time, but I want us to take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. That's what He does. He lives within us. He knows the dark areas. He knows the things. And if there's something that we need to do before we come to His table, you remember, my daddy wouldn't let me eat at the table with my hat on. You had to take your hat off at the table. You had to wash your hands. And you better not get too tickled at the table laughing too hard, because he would ask you to leave his table. There was just certain things that you didn't bring to my daddy's table. How much more should we the Heavenly Father? And you know what? You don't have to be a member today of Thomas Village to partake of this supper. We're not the one that's invited or doing the inviting. It's Jesus Christ. All that we ask, all that I ask, is that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're coming with a genuine heart to His table. So let's just take a few moments. If you want to come to the altar, you can. Or if you want to, right where you're at, let's just take a few moments and ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I do thank You for this day. I thank You, God, that for everyone that's shown up just on Christmas Day, where there's so many places we could be, but Lord, the day we celebrate Jesus in the house that You've given us. And God, I come to You and I just ask You to forgive me of my sins and my failures, knowing, Lord, that I am far from perfect, far from inadequate. But Lord, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. And I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that You hold on to me and that You've promised there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. And Lord, as we come to Your table today, God, I'm thankful that You've invited us to Your table. And Lord, at this time of year, we're eating at many different tables with many people that we love and many family members and friends. But God, there's no one that loves us like Jesus. And there's no table like the table of our Lord. And so, God, right now I do thank You that You forgive sins. I'm thankful not only for Your birth, but I'm thankful for all that You are, the Prophet, the Priest, the King, the perfect Messiah. And I pray right now that we just be mindful, Lord, of coming to Your table. And we ask You to be the honored guest as we celebrate the sacrifice of the Lamb. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Deacons, I want you just to stay where you're at today. I want you to celebrate at the table with your family. And we'll do our best just to get these all passed out, okay? If you would, just pass it around, Brother Jimmy. You go ahead and take one, and then I'll take it on back here. All right? Here you go, sister. Does everyone in here have one that wants one? Y'all got one? I better get one, hadn't I? The bread. 1 Corinthians 11:23 and following. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brother John Franklin, would you ask the blessing over the bread, please? Right there where you're at, it's fine, brother. In John 6:51, it says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, they shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the whole world. The broken, bruised, and battered body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us eat. The cup. 1 Corinthians 11:25. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, said, this is the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Brother Otis, would you pray over the cup, please? Amen. Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The blood that was spilt for our sins, let us drink. It says that the apostles and Christ, before they left the upper room, that they joined together in a song. Mark 14:26 said, after this, they sang a hymn, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so I would like for us to close out today singing, Blessed Be the Tithe. But before we do, I'm going to ask, is there anyone that may have a word of praise or testimony or just something you'd like to share this morning before we close out? All right, stand with me if you would. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Amen. God bless you and Merry Christmas.